when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Come with me on a journey into the mind, into the strange and often wonderful world of neurodiversity. I'm Colin Holt, neurodiverse comedian, actor, and explorer. In this latest series, I'm trying to find my way out of the labyrinth of overwhelm and meltdown. You may have experienced it before. I'm looking for a golden thread to take me back into the light. Yes, let's call it that, the golden thread. Come with me into the Neuroverse. Hello. Thanks for sticking with me on my journey into the Neuroverse, or joining me if this is your first time. If you've been listening before, you know that I tend to have a lot of breaks. I get a bit lost, a bit confused, and I'm always going, maybe it should be this, or it should be that, or it should be this. This time, I think I've finally landed on what I want this show to be, and I hope you agree. I've been thinking a lot about the idea of the golden thread. So this series is going to be called The Golden Thread. Series 3, The Golden Thread. Into the Neuroverse, The Golden Thread. You get the idea. I don't need to tell you about semicolons, do I? God, I hope not. Maybe I do. The golden thread, to me, is a thing that you hold on to, that leads you through the dark. I was going to say out of the dark, but I don't think it always takes you out of the dark. Increasingly, I feel maybe there isn't really a way out of the dark. Sounds depressing, doesn't it? But what I mean is that maybe everything is in the dark. Maybe the whole world is in the dark. And when I say in the dark, I mean in the labyrinth. Do you know what that is? The labyrinth, a maze, an endless underground maze of tunnels, corridors, mostly leading nowhere, one of them leading out, one of them leading to the centre. What are you talking about, Colin? Let me try and explain myself. So, I loved Greek legends as a kid. I was obsessed with them. You know, the legends of the ancient Greeks, the myths and legends. They all came, for me, from this one amazing book called The Usborne Book of Greek Myths. Have you read it? You must. It's got pictures. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. And it came out in the 80s, I assume, when I was a kid. And I think they keep bringing it out. I think it keeps coming back. I thought it was only me who read it. But I think everyone loves it. Well, everyone who's read it. They made a Norse one as well, you know, about the Vikings and stuff. But I never had that one when I was a kid, although I have got it now. I bought it now as an adult. When you become an adult, my generation, a lot of the time, we're just, you go, what do I spend my money on? Obviously, you've got to spend your money on food and mortgage and rent or whatever, but what else do I spend my money on? Oh, I know, I'll spend it on stuff I never had as a kid that I really wanted. I came quite close the other day to buying a Mr. Frosty. Does anyone remember Mr. Frosty? It's like a snowman. It was a plastic snowman. It was the rubbish, most rubbish thing. It was a plastic snowman and you put ice in it and then you could put like strawberry flavour, you know, or raspberry flavour or whatever. And then the snowman had like a handle on it and you turn the handle and it would, I guess, mix it up. I think it was just a way of making like a slushy, you know, like a slushy drink. So just practical, really, just functional. And no one really likes slushy drinks, don't they? Even kids, they always think they want a slushy drink. You know, when you take them bowling or something, and they're like, I want a slushy. They drink a bit of it and they're like, oh, because it is disgusting. But I always wanted those Mr. Frosties. And I came close, it was a while ago now, you know, but ADHD, my understanding of time yesterday could have been 10 years ago. And I came very close and I thought, what are you doing? What are you doing? You don't want this. You don't want this. I never wanted, I mean, I always wanted one, but I remember someone did get it. James Parker, who lived down the road from me, he did get one. He did get one Christmas. And you look at it and you go, it's just a bit of plastic. It's absolute crap. So I stopped myself doing that. Anyway, let's go back to what I was talking about. With this new series, by the way, I'm properly working on it. So I hope you appreciate it. I'm writing it out. I'm not trying to like just bash everything out in 10 minutes. It's what I did with previous series. And that's why I get in a mess and I'm suddenly like, oh no, I've got to start again. Oh no, it's not working. Anyway, so there was this Nordic one about the Vikings. And I did buy it and I've been reading it to my kids and we all love it. They love it. I'm not sure what I love so much about the Greek one, though. I guess it was the monsters, the heroes, adventure. What's not to like, guys? It helped. I watched films like Clash of the Titans. Oh, what a joy that was. Clash of the Titans. If you've never seen Clash of the Titans, watch it now. Switch this off and watch it. Not if you're driving. But Clash of the Titans. Perseus. Perseus was the hero in that, and he had magical items sent by his father Zeus, who was also Sir Laurence Olivier, which of course meant nothing to me at the time. Burgess Meredith is in it. He plays this sort of guide who assists Perseus like a sort of companion. I don't know who he is. I guess he's a replacement father figure, isn't he, for Zeus? Because Zeus is his real father, but he doesn't turn up. He just stays up in heaven, like moving chessboards or something. I don't know. But Perseus, we'll talk about that one another time, because that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm getting distracted. The ADHD brain, it finds new things exciting and shiny constantly. It can be very frustrating. As I'm sure you know if you've got ADHD, because once you grab that shiny new thought or project or podcast, it immediately becomes dull. It loses its gleam. It crumbles in your hand and you're on to the next thing. I'm in the student halls at the minute, by the way. I'll explain that another day. Well, I'm I'm not hiding out in student halls. I'm on tour, mini tour, going round. I'm in Bangor at the minute, at Bangor University, and the accommodation is a student halls. I've got a lot to say about it. Tune in a few weeks when I get to that part. But anyway, I'm only telling you that because, you know, if you hear random sounds, it's not the most soundproof room, but saying that is probably better than my shed where I normally do this. Right, come on, Colin. My point is, when you grab this thing, you go, oh, I'll do that. That's the thing I want. That's the thing. Oh, got it. Oh, no, it's dull. So what I'm saying is, I'm suddenly now, as I was writing this originally, and as I'm now recording it, I'm suddenly going, oh, maybe I'll just talk about Clash of the Titans. But no, Colin, come on. Back to what you started off with. Come on, here we go. Hello. Thank you for listening. If you've been following the podcast so far, you'll know that I pivot and change it repeatedly. It's very annoying, especially for me. Oh, by the way, I'm Colin Holt. I should probably let you know that. I'm a comedian. I'm an actor. I'm a podcaster. Okay, got it. Let's carry on. But it is very annoying, you know. Originally, this podcast was a kind of sci-fi style exploration of the mind. That was the plan anyway. Then it became a sort of mix and that and a chat about my work with my friend Jamie. But now it seems to have just become random chats with people. All of which I think listeners enjoyed for different reasons. But what I'm striving for in my life and in my podcast is just a little bit of consistency. It's the least likely thing to happen, some of it, ADHD. But increasingly in my reading and thinking, I'm finding this idea of us not really having free will. What, Colin, this is a pivot. What are you talking about? Why did I write this? What I'm saying is, I'm trying to go down certain paths and then I find myself going another path and another path, another path. But then in a lot of things I've been reading, you might have come across this idea, does free will exist? Some people think very much not. They think everything's predetermined. And I must confess, the idea of this is attractive. It's very attractive. It gets you off the hook of worrying about a lot of things. It's just going to happen, isn't it? My life's just going to go the way it always would. Whatever I do about it. I'm going to make choices in my mind, but the choices are just, they're just a product of my past. I'm only making that choice because of what happened to me before, because of my experience, my upbringing, my DNA, the state of the universe at the minute and the time that I live in. They all dictate what choice I make next. So why bother worrying about it? It doesn't matter what choice I make. My coding, if that's the word, I'm not sure that's the right word, but my coding is making it for me. That's making the choice. Perhaps that's true. I don't know. Do you think it's true? Maybe. Perhaps it is true. But Let's try a bit of consistency at least. I can at least attempt to try and be consistent, can't I? Even if my brain will forever take me down different paths. Let's see how we get on. And the reason I bring up the Old Osborne Book of Myths is because of this idea of the golden thread. These stories always fascinated me. Partly, I suppose, because the morality in the stories was everywhere. And as a kid, it's like, what's going on? Who's the goody? Who's the baddie? They're all over the shop. As opposed to superheroes, which I always also love, as anyone who listens to my podcast, A Bomb to Zax, will know, I am obsessed with superheroes. But these heroes, they were flawed. They did everything wrong. Or not necessarily wrong, but definitely not right. You know, Spider-Man, he gets things wrong all the time, doesn't he? He gets things wrong. But you know, he hasn't got any money. He says the wrong thing to his aunt. She nearly has a bloody stroke or whatever. But it's not that these heroes were getting things wrong. It's just that they were wrong. They were selfish. They were greedy. They were brutal. They were realistic. They were human, I guess, or more human. So the heroes weren't really heroes, and the gods were barely gods. They were absolute pricks. They really were. Let's not beat around the bush. Zeus, Sir Laurence Olivier himself, would frequently turn himself into swans and bulls and such just to seduce women. I don't know who came up with that idea. Someone thought, oh, I know. Right, he wants to seduce a woman. How does he do it? He turns into a swan. Yeah, that makes sense. What? I don't know who came up with those ideas, but to use the vocabulary of my hometown of Nottingham, Zeus and all of them, they were not right. They were not right in the head, mate. They weren't right. They weren't right, mate. It's kind of hilarious how, you know, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, all these figures immortalized in statues around the world, and they're still used as symbols for companies to suggest heroic ideals. And they were all absolutely dreadful people. They really were. I'm pivoting again. Pivot back, Colin. So this is not going to be a podcast about Greek myths. Is it going to be a podcast about Greek myths? Okay, maybe fine. It's all predetermined anyway. You know, there's no free will. So to come back to the Osborne book, Theseus and the Minotaur. You know this story. I'll talk in more detail on it another time. But Theseus, the hero, in very loose terms, finds himself thrown into a labyrinth, a maze, right? And in this maze is a monster, the Minotaur, a man with the head of a bull. I mean, presumably a big man. In the book, he was like a strapping brute with this gargantuous, monstrous bull head. But it would be funny, wouldn't it, if he was just like this little featherweight fellow, just a tiny man, but he's got this massive bull head. I'm coming to get you. The point is, if he gets you, he eats you, which is a pivot, isn't it? Because I don't think bulls are carnivorous, if I'm honest. I think they just eat grass. But don't worry about that. The point is, Theseus is lost in this maze with this creature somewhere in there with him. And recently, much like Theseus, I have felt very lost. I won't go into it all now, but just, I got into a real bind. Nothing seems to work for me in my head. You know, again, with the ADHD, it's hard to make anything stick. Regular listeners will know I have a lot of ideas. I follow a lot of ideas to try and help me. I'm constantly following new helpful ways of thinking or conclusions I reach. But, you know, and I feel like, yes, I've got it. That's it. That's the answer. Probably most of the previous episodes end with, yep, that's it. That's what I'll do. That's how you live life. But the point, and it feels great, you know, for a minute, but then I forget it. I immediately forget it. I'll write it down, Colin. I do. I write it down everywhere. So I've got about 40 notebooks all over the shop. I don't know what's written in what. And sometimes that can take me in really into the dark, and I can barely remember how to step forward. It's like my brain's just imploded, and I can't even think, like, do I go that way? Do I go this way? Do I go that way? I don't know anymore. It's not quite the same as depression, although I am familiar with that particular demon. It's more like all memory has just shut down, like all my plans and dreams. I can't remember what I wanted to do or why I wanted to do it, why I thought that was a good idea, or why that was something I should dedicate my time, my life to. I come up with really helpful mantras, you know, affirmations, all these things, really helpful. And then, you know, a day, a week or a month later, they're just gone. And I write them down, as I say, I make plans on books, I write them on books and papers and on walls, but I still forget where I put them, or when I do see them, they mean nothing to me now. They're faded dust in my fingers. So I need what Theseus had, a golden thread, when he was lost in the labyrinth. I do wonder sometimes why he didn't just stay by the entrance when he was pushed into that labyrinth. Just stay there, mate. You can see the door. Or just stay near it anyway. But no, he went into the labyrinth. I don't know why, but why have I? Why didn't I just stay by the door, you know? The door being, I don't know, the idea I had. Oh, I was in a double act. Why don't I just keep doing that? It's working. No, go over that way instead. Oh, I've done Anaman as a character. Oh, everyone loves that. Right, change that. Do something else now. It's working. Maybe that's the lesson in some ways. I should just stay where I started. But no, I can't. It's not possible. Off I go. Get lost. Maybe Theseus had ADHD. But the good thing is, the daughter of the evil king who put him in there gave him a golden thread. I can't remember what happened to her, but I doubt he treated her well, you know, being a Greek hero, in inverted commas. The golden thread, that's what he used to find his way back out the labyrinth. She gave him this magical golden thread, goes all the way back to the entrance, and that's what I'm looking for. Something that stays with me when I'm lost in the dark. I can hold on to it, and it will keep glowing and guiding. If not out the dark, at least through it. And that's what this podcast is going to be now. I'll be talking to some people I love, like and admire again to help guide me and tell me what their golden threads are, what leads them out of the labyrinth when they're stuck. And I'll be talking a lot about heroes and gods and minotaurs and my old pal, Jamie, my Patrocles, if you will. I think that's the character, I can't remember. He'll be joining me from time to time and I'll be giving my long rambling thoughts up top. So come with me, once again, if you can be bothered, into the Neuroverse. Take hold of the golden thread, and maybe it will help you, as I hope it helps me. Let's journey through the labyrinth together. Maybe we'll never get out the dark, but at least there'll be like a few of us, like a great big conga, holding on to this golden thread.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Thank you. So, as part of my journey through the labyrinth, following the golden thread, I sometimes connect with some of my fellow Argonauts on this journey through life, my fellow ADHD people or neurodiverse people, or any people really that I like. So here to help sort my brain out is my dear friend, Paul F. Taylor. It's time for Sort Your Brain Out.
Into the Neuroverse presents...
Sort your brain out, baby, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out, and let the sun shine in. Sort your brain out, lady, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. Don't let the bad guys win. Sort your brain out, mate.
Hello, Paul.
Right. Hey, how you doing, Colin? You're right.
You look lovely. Are you in a hotel room or in your own house?
I was thinking the exact same thing. It looks like a hotel room because I've got that kind of classic picture behind me.
It's lovely. I'm not saying your room is anonymous and drab or anything.
It's soulless.
It's gorgeous.
I could pan it around so you can see a bit more.
Oh, there we go. That's a house. That's
there
a
is more of reality to it as you move it around. But yeah, this area looks hotel.
It does from that out, but that's fine. I mean, I mean, you look at me. I look like a hostage right now.
There's something behind that curtain. It's really ominous.
Oh, I think there might be. It's all of Camden. All of Camden is out there waiting for me. I've got the evening tomorrow. I've got as I said to you, without going into detail, so I don't want to jinx it, but I've got to read through. And they've put me up in a hotel in Camden. And rather than explore the divine world of Camden, I'm sitting in my hotel room doing work and recording a podcast with you, Paul. So, Paul, you're a lovely man. I'm just going to say that. I think. Do I know you well? And I've never seen your dark side. Let's say that.
Yeah, I keep it well hidden.
You're a comedian like me. I'd like to start by thanking you. I don't know if I've said this already, Paul, but do you remember we did the Glee Club in Birmingham with Chad at Christmas? And I was, I think, still doing Anna Man then. And I was talking about how I was doing Anna Man. I was also doing stand-up as myself. And I was like, oh, I want to put that in, but I also want to do that. And I also want to do that. And you said, I don't know if you remember, but you said, oh, yeah, it might just be the case that you end up putting both in the one show, though. And that had never occurred to me. And then I did. And that's what led me to turn that Anna Man show into a kind of, what's the word? Not confession. revealment.
Yeah.
Of my ADHD. But that was thanks to you, Paul, because I was like, how do I? And you were basically like, just put them together, see what happens. And it was brilliant. I think that was perhaps a nice bit of ADHD thinking from you. So you've got ADHD.
Yeah.
You're infected. It's spread to your town.
It spread to my brain.
Yeah. What are you, when did you find out, first of all?
It was around this time last year.
Right.
So sort of just after Christmas, I think.
You're a new one, like me.
Yeah, I'm reasonably new.
Do you still feel slight when you, I don't know if you talked, I mean, one of the things I find with ADHD is you tell everyone you've got ADHD and sort of tell everyone else they've got ADHD and stuff like that. But do you find when you talk to someone, they're like, oh yeah, I got diagnosed when I was six, you feel like, oh yeah, I'm probably not really then. Do you know what I mean? Do you suddenly?
Yeah, I think
get
there's
that?
A lot.
Like, or maybe I'm faking it.
There's a lot of doubt around it anyway, I think. Mm. And the fact that there's lots of people that have been diagnosed with it seemingly in recent times, it does make you feel a bit like that, I think, no matter what. But you do worry.
Yeah. Yeah. And like when they said, do you take the meds? Are you on the pills yet?
No, not anymore. I don't. But
oh,
I
right.
Did.
You tried them and did they not work for you?
Well, they did. They really did. Mm. But I didn't like how it made me. I found that it was great. I could do admin. I was really focused on doing all the things that I hate doing, because normally I only do the things that I like doing and I ignore everything else.
Yeah.
But I did all the things that I was supposed to do, but I just found over time that I didn't feel like on it as much. Like I didn't feel like that spark that I normally have was there.
Right.
And I found when I was doing gigs, it was especially at gigs I just felt a bit flat.
Right.
Like I didn't feel like I was, I don't know, creative as I was.
Do you not feel the kind of, maybe this is a bit of a cheesy word for it, but the kind of madness of it? Like the kind, because you did quite a, do you use props? I don't know if you use props.
It depends.
It's got a bit of a Steve Martin madcap.
Yeah.
To it, which I love. And that, but requires, I imagine, well, not even imagine, because I kind of do, I don't do the same thing as you, but with my stand-up. It's very, it requires a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And when you don't have it, it feels like I did a work in progress the other day, and I think I was just so dog tired from doing so many that I just did the jokes. And everyone really, people were like, yeah, it was great, you know. But I felt like a zombie. It was so weird. I've never had the meds, but
I know exactly what you mean. I always struggle with energy. Like there are times where I judge it right, and it's variable sometimes. Like sometimes you have low energy and it goes really, really well. And sometimes you have loads of energy and it goes bad. But generally I think I am feverish in energy. And I think that replicates what my brain kind of is a bit like.
Yeah. It felt like a nightmare moment for me when I did it. Like the carpet, but you know, like those nightmares where you're falling or something. In that I sort of like, because I come out nowadays, and it is quite like the same Animan energy, but it's me. And I have to create this hysteria as quick as possible. Do you know what I mean? Like, almost like whipping an Angel Delight, because that is my favorite pudding. A lovely butterscotch. Although I have discovered the M&S salted caramel overnight oats. Mwah! To die. I've got one in a bag over there, and I can't stop thinking about it, Paul.
Is that where your eyes keep going?
Well, that's where the genuine, I keep looking at it. It's so rude. I went to my gym class today. I do strength, which I find very good for ADHD. But I had to sit, but he gets us doing all these exercises and stuff. And I had to turn, I said to him, I'm so sorry, I didn't listen to anything he said. And he'd like done like 20 X, you know, like prepared as we're like, not 20, but like five different things. Anyway, yeah, I felt that gig I did, that work in progress, like the floor had just come out from under me, because I was like, I'm saying all these lines and they're laughing, but I'm not, do you know what I mean? I'm not like ramped up like a race car going around super fast, so I'm not doing it right. So I'm talking about myself as per, very ADHD, but it sort of opened up, it just made me think like, that's what it must be like for normal stand-ups.
Yeah.
You know when you see someone who comes out and they go, okay, here's a joke. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't do that. But I feel like that's what they're doing, is going, all right, about to tell you a joke. Here it comes. Do you find the time when you're watching other stand-ups, and I like other stand-ups, isn't me slagging anyone off, but I feel like it goes so slowly. And I'm like,
yeah.
I sort of go, have they done 40 minutes? And people are like, no, they've only done 10. They're still... And I'm like, but they've talked for so long. And then I go on stage and I talk for what feels 1 minute and it's been an hour, you know?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Like I've looked at like who my favorite comedians are and they're all really ADHD. Like really, I love it when there's loads of just like tangential moves between sentences and quick.
Who would you put in? I hate this question. That's me. But who would you put in those top five?
Mitch Hedberg was my favorite comedian when I was
sort
of a teenager and getting older. Like it was just incredible. And Steve Martin, like you said, was I loved that. And it's all just like a joke, and then another joke on something completely different. Like, and then that becomes the joke that none of it makes any sense. That it's all linked together. You know, it's all kind of just here's a blob, here's a blob. It's like watching someone, you know, like an artist who's just like dolloping paint onto a canvas. It's like that kind of approach.
Do you have the lights on the audience when you, do you prefer the lights on? Only because I watched this Steve Martin, maybe it was in his autobiography, where he said he never have the lights on the crowd because you don't want to ever see them. And I think, I think I'm somewhere in the middle. Obviously, if it's too bright, it's weird. But I feel like I have to be kind of constantly referencing them or sort of, help saying stuff like, he's not enjoying it. Do you know what I mean? Which is so desperate.
Those are my favorite bits in Animan, I think, where you're doing all those bits, those little asides to the people. And it's sort of, it's great because it's always bringing it back to this is happening right now. And it's always like, this is, you're saying these things that are scripted, but then it's always like every now and then there's a line that's like, oh, him, oh, it.
Yeah, I sometimes think to be in my audience must be horrendous. I would hate it because you'd be so like, oh God, please don't talk to me.
I don't know. I think it must be thrilling. I think it's more like going on a roller coaster of a show than it is one that you sort of sit and go. It's one where you're like, whoa, what's happening now? Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So brave. Yeah. No, it's definitely not one of those. So, What I want to ask you, Paul, is we'll get onto your little golden thread in a minute. So with the ADHD, since you found it out, how has it kind of affected you, your family, your comedy? Has it, do you feel relief? Do you feel like, oh, great, I can go forward? Or, well, you tell me what you feel.
I still grapple with it, actually. Like, it was initially relief. And I got, you know, when you get the test and you have to have your friends fill in forms for you and stuff. And so
who filled in yours?
My best mate, Rich, from school.
Right, right.
And it's just weird, like asking people. There's motion detected at my front door. Don't know if you heard that. doesn't say there's a person there. It just says motion's detected.
So, oh, my God, that would freak me out.
Yeah, that's I'm going to get that setting changed on my doorbell. I found it difficult, I guess, like sort of admitting to people that it was a thing I thought. But then so many sort of different friends kind of had sort of suggested that I have ADHD, and sort of it had been like a bit of a joke with certain people, I think.
Right.
So, you know, it was a surprise, but also not a surprise. And then, yes, I got diagnosed and over. And I went through the process of then trying the medication, and I found it great. Like, I was really like pleased and happy. And then I was like, you start reading all these things and watching all these YouTube videos about it and learning more about it. And you start getting.
You feel very empowered at first, maybe, don't you?
You do, yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're on a mission almost.
Exactly. And then I sort of started, like I was talking to you about started sort of feeling a bit like, but what is it losing from me? Like, what? And because I'm a comedian, and I feel like it really helps you when you're a comedian in some ways to have it, because it gives you this ability to just lick around things, and it's kind of entertaining, I think. And I feel like I'd lost that. And I was also feeling, I've got a toddler, and I feel like having the medication, it just, because it changed my behavior, it didn't sit comfortably with me, I think. And so I stopped taking it. And then it's been hard work. And I'm trying to focus on sort of other techniques for managing it. So trying to work on being more mindful and
working. Do you do meditation, yoga, those kind of things?
I mean, I try.
Yeah.
I try and do it as much as I can, but I don't do it every day.
I do a thing called One Giant Mind. I recommend that. I do that.
All right.
I try and do that every day. And what I find is, it's not like magical or anything, but what I find is just the days I do it, I'm just less likely to get to 12 o'clock in the day and be in a mess and not be able to like string a sentence together because I'm so worried that I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I haven't, because... Yeah, even if I haven't done anything and I've just got distracted by everything, at least I've I feel relatively calm inside.
Yeah,
it definitely makes a difference, I find. Anyway,
well, that sounds great. I'll have to try that. But I use Headspace just in terms of mindfulness.
Yeah,
and I've also had to sort of forgive myself a bit, when those days like you're talking about happen, not get too angry about it.
Do you get panicked about time? Do you sort of that?
Yeah.
I get it on a macro scale, as in my life, and even like the planet and stuff. Like, there isn't time. Do you know what I mean? I'm 45, and I'm like, there's not time now for me to do things. Do you know what I mean? And then also on a daily scale, I get like, oh my God, it's lunchtime, and I haven't been able to start, or I haven't. And then I get this feeling horrible.
So this is so typically ADHD, and that you haven't finished your sentence yet, and I'm already. Yeah.
No. I actually think we're doing really well, to be honest. I think it's the best I've ever done.
I feel like we need like a baton to just hand to each other. You're the one talking if you're holding the baton. I can't even remember what I was going to say now.
Oh, horrible.
It's just like, time. That's what you're talking about. I find, because I feel like I have to work a little bit harder than everyone else, I feel like I have to put, like, often I'll work later than I really should be working, actually. And it's really just me going, well, I got to work harder because I wasted all that time earlier on. And when I'm in the right mode for working, I feel like I should make as much of that time useful as possible. So, yeah, I do know what you mean. I do always feel like there isn't time because I always feel like I need the amount of time that you need plus some additional time because I'm going to end up not being able to use that time effectively.
Mm. And then you're there at like 10, I've got to finish the script or whatever because, you know, or 11 or 12. And it's horrible feeling, but it's, you know, it's going to go. If I don't do it now, it'll never be done.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'm like reset to zero again.
Yeah.
And I start the whole client. Ugh. But we're good. We're strong. We're powerful. So do you, this iteration of my new series of Into the Universe is about this idea of the golden thread. As I was sending you, trying to send you the idea, I wrote this, as I write this, this sounds really pretentious, but that's fine. A lot of what I do is quite pretentious, but it's the idea that I recently think, even though things have been going lovely, really, but I've just got myself into overwhelmed by everything. And I tried to visualize it, and I did connect it with this being lost in the labyrinth, not knowing where I'm going. Pretty sure there's a bloody Minotaur in here waiting to get me. It's not nice. So this idea of the golden thread, the thing that can lead me out of it. And, you know, there's lots of things like my family are part of that and all that. But I thought it'd be nice just to hear a few people. When you get overwhelmed and sort of what's the point, is it just a little, anything that is your little golden thread. So here's Paul's golden thread.
My golden thread, what of cope, like to how to cope, you mean?
Yeah, well, it can be anything, just a little thing that helps you. Yeah, like for me, to be honest, sometimes reading comic books really helps me.
Okay. And
sadly, you know, I started watching old movies on YouTube recently. That was great. As in, you know, proper Alec Guinness type, Fall of the Roman Empire. They're all on YouTube. And I was like, this is so good because it's so slow. And like meaty in a way films never are anymore. You know what I mean? It's really, but yeah, you were saying.
I do know what you mean.
Bluey, was it?
Well, yes. Sorry. I think
that's a very good example.
Well, there's an episode of Bluey. I think Bluey's an amazing TV show, by the way.
Agreed.
There's an episode of Bluey where Bluey is playing hide and seek.
Right.
And her parents don't like playing hide and seek with her because she is always forgetting that she's playing hide and seek and getting distracted by something else. And it's basically about ADHD.
Does she, just to jump in, Bluey is a cartoon, Australian cartoon with dogs, and it's a mum, dad, and two sisters. So does Bluey actually have ADHD then?
I don't know. They don't say it.
I know there's one where she goes to a camp or something and there's someone who definitely has autism, I think, isn't there?
Yeah.
Or maybe has it, I can't remember, but anyway. But that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't clock that. That's
but it's basically they're all hiding in places, and as she's going around trying to find them, she's getting distracted by like toys that she's not played with for ages that are hidden in a cupboard. And it's really interesting. They have this particular toy that's like it looks like a Furby, and it's called a Chattermax, I think, and it just goes crazy and nuts. And it's just like that to me. It really spoke to me as like, this is what the world is like. Like, that's like a mobile phone. Like, everything seems to be designed to take my attention.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I feel so much shame about all of that. Like, when my phone tells how much I've been using it, and it sort of shames you and goes, oh, you used me for this many hours extra this week. And I'm like, oh, I'm such a dick. Like, I love how in that show, she has to sort of meditate to then realize what she's doing. And then she goes and finds everyone. And they've all been hiding for like hours and they've all got bored. And they're like, one of them's hiding in the shower and they started cleaning the shower. And one of them's in a cupboard. And
I don't think I've seen this one. I thought I've seen quite a few. Yeah.
It's really simple. It's a really good one. And it's just about having clarity of mind, I guess, and that it just really it's a great episode for what I kind of take as my process for like dealing with this. Like, it is so overwhelming and everything seems to be designed to overwhelm me. And yeah, that helped, I found.
And how does it resolve in the end? Do they like go to, does she, do they sort of accept her distraction that she gets?
I think she meditates and then it goes to her sister and then she's going to get distracted again, I think, but then she remembers not to.
Yeah. I'd highly recommend anyone watches Bluey for these. It's really beautiful, isn't it? I mean, you watch it with your kids. George Lewis did a really funny thing about it, about how you start off watching it with your kids and then you're kind of like, yeah, shh, I'm watching this. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, telling them to leave the room because you want to really focus on it and stuff, you know, and it becomes like a series you're really into.
Yeah, it's definitely written for the parents. I don't think it's written for the kids.
But yeah.
It is for the kids, but it's...
There's advice, I think, especially as a parent of a neurodiverse kid or a parent who is neurodiverse, there is genuinely advice in there.
Yeah.
Like little nuggets that you can come away. My favorite one is the, I don't know if I've talked about this on this podcast before, but is the one where they play Jupiter and where they, do you remember where they all become the planets and it's her sort of sleeping and, oh my God, when the mum is like the sun and she says, I'll always be with you. Oh my God, I'm crying now thinking about it. It's emotional.
Yeah. There's about 4 or 5 episodes that have just made me cry.
Yeah.
Like, they're amazing. And, yeah, I love a cry, but like, yeah, it's hard to make me cry.
In this horrendous world, which seems to be getting worse, where I don't know if I'm imagining this, but I feel like everyone outside a small group of people, of which I'd put you in, you know, not that small, you know, a fairly large 50 people, maybe, I don't know. But I feel sometimes like everyone outside that bubble are just horrendous Andrew Tate sort of Trump loving monsters who just like live in this Game of Thrones world where you should just execute people and, do you know what I mean? And just kind of survival of the fittest and might makes right and bloody red pill and I don't know, you know, power drinks or whatever it is. And then you watch me like Blue and you think, you know, there's just a little bit of understanding in the world, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's a nice way to put it.
Do you ever do any animation yourself? Do you ever? Are you an artist? No.
No, I mean, I'm very flattered that you asked if I am.
I know why. It's because I gigged with you and Olaf Falafel.
Oh, is maybe. That
his name? He's an artist, isn't he? He was there.
He is, yeah.
I think I've got confused as to who does art. But
our auras have been combined.
You do? I'd love to see that.
We're actually quite similar act. In terms of how we do our stuff, aren't we?
Not sure the world needs both of you, to be honest.
That's true. Maybe.
That's brutal. Oh no, don't take that away. That was a flippant joke. What a horrendous thing to take with you.
That bit in Batman where he breaks the pool cue in half and breaks it and puts it in front of the two people, put it in front of me and Olaf.
Oh my God, yeah. And then they've got a fight. Did you ever see The Shield with Michael Chiklis?
No.
He's a tough guy who, like, you know, takes down the LA gangs, but he's not, he's kind of, he's sort of in with them as well and a dodgy cop and all this. But there's these two rival gangs and he sort of just puts them in like a porter cabin, basically like an Edinburgh venue and Edinburgh Festival venue, and locks the door, just leaves them there overnight, the two leaders. And then whoever walks out gets to carry on being, it's really brutal.
Oh, wow.
But that's what you and Olaf should do.
That really is it, isn't it?
This Edinburgh. And
I think.
No, I think he was very different. I just couldn't remember. You both got lovely beards, and one of you also does drawings.
Yeah, that's him.
Oh. You could give it a go. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, I could.
Too late for a new skill? Do you play any instruments?
No, not really.
I've got a guitar in my little shed, and I've been paying for musician. $7.99 a month. Can't afford that. Can't afford that on top of everything else. Haven't picked up the guitar yet. Musician, it teaches you how to play guitar from an app. But it's just like, in a way, it's good. But then you're like, it's another app that I've got to, you know.
I feel like there's an extra tax involved in being someone who's got ADHD. Like, I feel like there are times where you have such good intentions and you pay for something and then you never use it. Mm. And it's to do with how you are. Mm. It's like certain things in this world just don't seem to be set up for me.
Oh,
like that.
He is.
like the sort of, I don't know, regular payment for something.
Regular payments?
Yeah,
that's a bad idea. I mean, that's, well, it's not good for us because we're, what's the word? Well, losers. No, we're...
creatives.
Creatives. What's the word? Freelance. We're freelancers. So we don't know what's coming in every other bloody day, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. But Paul, thank you for sharing your golden thread of Bluey. I recommend everyone, if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's wonderful. Paul, would you, is there, are there any stories that help guide you?
There is.
I talk a bit about Greek myths on here, as I say. So I was wondering if there's any that have struck a chord with you outside of
there. There is the parable. I don't know if it's a parable or whether it's just not a thing I've heard.
Yeah.
I think someone who had else who had ADHD told me about this.
It's anyway. A meme.
Yeah, it's probably a meme. I don't even think I'm going to get this right. So I'm just going to try and say it and hope I get it right.
But I always get this. I always try and explain. Apparently, if you've read some information, then you explain it to someone, you learn it. But then whenever I explain it, I just get it completely wrong. So it doesn't. But anyway, sorry. There's a man.
Right. That's how it starts. There's a man. He's running away from some wolves.
Right.
Wolves are like, there's like a pack of wolves.
Oh, Jesus.
They're all angry. You know how wolves are always angry?
Well, hungry.
Yeah, they're hungry. Maybe they're hangry.
The hangry wolf.
They're angry. And
they're parable hungry. Of the hangry wolf. Yeah.
Anyway, the wolves, they're all chasing him.
Yeah.
And he's running away and he's not going to get away. And then all of a sudden he gets to like a cliff and he goes, oh, good. I'll shin down the cliff. You know, and all the wolves, he's climbing down on a vine down the cliff and the wolves are there going, rah, 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 snarling at the top of the cliff. And as he's going down the vine, he's like, oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to go down to the bottom of this whole cliff face. And then he looks down the bottom and then there's loads of wolves at the bottom.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
They're all like, hello. Like they do that noise. Yeah.
But also hangry.
Yeah, they're also hangry. Yeah.
Okay.
They've got the same affliction as the wolves at the top of the cliff.
Yeah.
So there's a definite lack of food in the area.
Yeah.
And
someone feed these wolves.
They need like a dog food shop nearby. But anyway, these wolves are really angry at the top of the cliff and the bottom of the cliff. And this guy's now on the vine going, well, I can't go up, I can't go down. And then he sees a strawberry growing on the side of the cliff. And he plucks the strawberry and then he eats it. And it's the best tasting strawberry he's ever had.
And that's the ad.
It's the advert.
So
it's the advert for strawberries.
That's the advert for strawberry. That does feel like an advert. It'd be good if it was a Muller Light. And he tastes. So
how is he gonna hold the vine and open a Muller Light?
Oh yeah, that's a good point. He'd have to use
he'd have to tie it around his waist, I guess.
So he's got wolves above him, wolves below him. He's gonna die. But in that moment, I can taste a strawberry.
And it's the best tasting strawberry he's ever had in his life.
And it's the Zen. I mean, essentially, he's a man who doesn't like strawberries, but this is the best one. No, he likes
it. I think it's meant to be about anxiety, isn't it? It's like, that thing could kill me. And then if you stop and take notice of the thing in the moment.
Yes. It is important. It sounds cheesy, but it is the future hasn't happened. The past is gone. But right now, I'm here. Touch it. Just sometimes I just like touch the wall to kind of, do you know what I mean? Here I am.
It is really true. All that matters is this, like this moment, like everything that's happened before is kind of just a storyline that you tell yourself and everything in the future hasn't happened. So there really is no point worrying about both of them. Obviously you've got to plan, you know, you've got to get your shopping in.
Yes.
Monday, but like
there's a degree of planning arrive, but you know, I've got this thing tomorrow. Yeah. If I just swan in at 5, it'll be done and I'm in it, so that'd be stupid. So I've got to, you know,
you've got to at least think about it, but just maybe have a strawberry in the meantime.
Just enjoy that bloody strawberry, mate, because in a minute you are going to be ripped to pieces.
You are going to die.
It's going to be
the worst death. I reckon.
Do you think they go for the throat straight away though? I mean, that's kind of comforting. Still a horrible concept, but you know.
I think these wolves are known for killing you in the slowest way possible. I don't think they know about the throat.
Oh God, sometimes
they mostly start with like small digits and then just work their way in.
Oh, you know what? You're meant to have been, you know, bringing me out the labyrinth, but if anything, you've just reminded me of the film Return of the Living Dead, where a woman gets eaten very slowly by a lot of old zombies.
Yeah.
And it goes on for ages. So you've ruined my evening, but thank you. But no, Paul, talking about the future, Paul F. Taylor, you've got a tour about to start any second now. I hope you know when it starts. I hope you know where...
This weekend. I'm doing Southend.
This weekend? Great.
Yeah. Southend, and then I'm doing Soho Theatre on Saturday.
Southend. When are you doing Southend?
Southend on Friday.
Right.
Jokers.
Soho Theatre on Saturday.
Yeah, and Soho Theatre on Saturday.
How long are you doing Soho Theatre for?
I'm literally doing that night.
That night. But then you're doing more dates after?
Yeah, I'm doing more dates. They're all on my website.
What's your website?
PaulFTaylor.co.uk.
Wonderful. And do you talk about ADHD in the show at all?
Yeah, the whole show is... I did it... the whole show was basically written around when I got diagnosed. And so it is about that.
Yeah.
But it's... I don't talk about it. I kind of try and show it. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it does make sense. That sounds fun. Lovely. I'm... What's the show called?
Head in the Clouds.
Head in the Clouds, Paul F. Taylor. Okay, well, I'll try and come see it. I think you're in Brighton as well, aren't you, the comedian?
I am, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, do come.
Thanks so much for talking to me tonight, Paul.
No worries, buddy. Thanks for the time.
Everyone go see this wonderful man and comedian, Paul F. Taylor. And, sayonara. Keep the fight. Keep the fight going, brother. Don't keep eating those Muller lights. All right, Paul, thanks a lot. I'll let you go and I'll do a wrap-up.
All right, buddy. See you later.
Yeah, take care, buddy.
Thanks. Bye.
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 That was lovely, Paul F. Taylor. Do go see his wonderful show. I'm very excited for it. And don't forget, you can come and see my new show that's coming out very soon. If you go to iamcolinholt.com, that's probably the best place to go for it. You can support the show as well with patreon.com/colinholt. Get a few extra bits and bobs and keep my work going. Thanks very much for listening. You've been listening to Into the Neuroverse, The Golden Thread. Bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.